today. We've spent a number of weeks talking about sacrifice and how for people in the ancient world, worship meant communing with their God through sacrifice. We've tried to correct our modern misunderstanding of those sacrifices, which is generally the idea that sacrifice means suffering and violent killing of an innocent victim to appease a bloodthirsty God. We've seen that for most people in the ancient world, including ancient Israel, sacrifices were actually understood to be delicious meals, pleasing aromas, grateful gifts that were offered to God to invite his friendship, to forge and foster a relationship with him. We've seen that the true God had graciously provided Israel a system of animal and vegetal sacrifices in the scriptures, which would enable them to draw near to him and commune with him at his house. We've also seen how Jesus came as the fulfillment of all these old covenant sacrifices. Jesus offered himself on the cross as the truly pure and pleasing sacrifice, which has finally and fully brought faithful humanity into communion with God. Last week we said that because the sacrifice of Jesus has cleansed and purified our conscience from sin, his sacrifice has transformed us into pure sacrifices as well. We pointed out how the Apostle Peter calls us to be a priestly people who offer spiritual sacrifices to God. We saw how the Apostle Paul calls us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to God. And we saw these apostles also refer to Christian acts like repentance, like service, charity, and evangelism using sacrificial terminology. These are spiritual sacrifices. They are Holy Spirit-empowered sacrifices. And by offering these in Christ, we experience deeper communion with God and greater likeness to his Son. So today, we're going to talk about the spiritual sacrifices that we specially offer in our corporate worship service together. How do we offer ourselves as living sacrifices on the Lord's Day? Let me pray for us as we begin. Gracious God, source of all light, by your word you give light to the soul. Pour out upon us the spirit of wisdom and understanding that being taught by you in Holy Scripture, our hearts and minds may be opened to know the things that pertain to life and holiness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Before we talk about the spiritual sacrifices we offer in worship, I want to clear up what I believe is a common misunderstanding about worship, especially in modern Protestant and evangelical churches. And that is this: worship is not entertainment. Worship is not entertainment. Now, you might think that would be obvious, but I think it's the case that most of us are not even aware how much our worship services have been shaped by American entertainment culture more than by the scriptures. You see, without even realizing it, we approach our worship services as though they are essentially the same thing as a late-night talk show, or a concert, or a comedy act, right? Churches have skits and monologues. They have light shows and fog machines. They have stages where bands perform. They have movie theater seating where the house lights go dark as the show begins. You know, after COVID, we all have cameras now, too. And we all have big screen TVs, right, which we all turn toward and gaze upon in devotion, as if any of us needed more screen time. Now, I'm not saying that entertainment is in and of itself bad or sinful, right? I went to an amazing concert 2 weeks ago. I'm going to see a comedian this week, right? These things are wonderful in their proper place. But is the Lord's Day worship service the proper place? Here's the problem. When the worship service looks and sounds and feels like our entertainment, then we end up approaching worship the same way we approach our entertainment. And by that I mean We become passive. We become spectators. We become the live studio audience. And we then expect the performers up front to do all the work while we sit back and receive and consume and even evaluate how they're doing. We come to church and we expect to be entertained. We expect the musicians or the pastor to use the same techniques that our entertainers use to achieve that effect. And since we have unconsciously assumed that our entertainment and our worship service are essentially the same sort of thing, we've equated worship to having a certain experience, an experience that others create in us. Now, I know this is the case because we've heard other Christians say, or we ourselves have said something like this: "Praise God, we really worship today. That third song, I just felt the Spirit speaking to me." Or you might hear the opposite: "You know, Pastor seemed a little off his game today. I just didn't feel like I was really able to worship." Isn't this kind of how we talk about worship, as it's an experience that we either have or don't have on a Sunday morning? Okay, so now try to imagine applying that same understanding of worship in biblical times. Might go something like this: "Hey, Adonijah, Shabbat Shalom, how are you?" "I don't know, Ezekiel. A little down, I guess. I went to temple this morning, but I just don't really feel like I was able to worship, you know?" "What do you mean you weren't able to worship? Did you forget to take your lamb again?" "No." "Oh, then your lamb had a blemish and you didn't know about it. Did old Zechariah find it? He's a real stickler. Just get a different one." "No, that's not what I mean." "Then what are you talking about, Adonijah? Didn't you offer a pleasing sacrifice to the Lord as he commands in Torah? Wasn't it prepared by the priest and burned on the altar? Either you worship God today or you didn't. Which is it?" Now, if, as we've been saying, worship is sacrifice, then worship is not sitting back and being entertained. Worship is not expecting others to create an experience for you. There shouldn't really be a question of whether you worshiped or not, because worship is about the offering and receiving of shared meals, pleasing aromas, grateful gifts. Worship is about forging and fostering covenantal relationships between God and humanity. Worship is about drawing near to God through Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest and our sacrifice, who has sanctified us so that he can offer us to the Father as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service, our spiritual worship. But how do we know worship is sacrifice? How do we know that worshiping God consists of offering spiritual sacrifices to him? Because the Bible tells us so. And we will do this, or we'll look at this, by following the basic order of a historic Christian worship service, such as the one we celebrate here. The first spiritual sacrifice we offer in our worship service is the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise. We learn this is a sacrifice in Hebrews 13, where in verse 15 we are told, "Through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name." Paul calls praise a sacrifice that we are to offer continually. Now, praise is speaking and singing about God, proclaiming his goodness, his greatness, his wisdom, and his love. And this is one of the sacrifices that we offer in our worship service. Right? Often our call to worship includes praise. The first song we sing is usually a song of praise. But we offer praise throughout the worship service in many ways. And this notion that praise and thanksgiving, that these are a pleasing sacrifice, this isn't new with Paul or with the New Testament authors, we find this idea in the Psalms. Psalm 69, verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hoofs. Right now, oxen and bulls, those were the most valuable of the sacrifices, and that's what they're talking about here. But the psalmist says the Lord is even more pleased by sincere and faithful songs of praise, of thanksgiving. Cyril of Alexandria said of these songs of praise, these offerings we Christians will also sacrifice, and we will stain the spiritual altar with blood from these sacrifices. This teaching that praise is a sacrifice, it also speaks to the care with which we should choose our words and our lyrics in the worship service. Right? Just as an Israelite had to carefully choose that unblemished animal from his flock, just as the priests had to examine it and carefully butcher it and prepare it so that they could offer only the best portions to God, the portions he required. In the same way, we should not come to our worship service expecting to offer God our off-the-cuff remarks and our ramblings, just making it up as we go, right? We want to bring a pure sacrifice of praise. And that's why Christians have traditionally used a set liturgy of carefully selected words, almost exclusively taken from the Psalms and from other passages of Scripture. Because these are Spirit-inspired words that have also been time-tested by the faithful who have gone before us. They are words that we can be sure are accurately representing who God is and are expressing sound theology. Because the apostle says, our praise is a sacrifice, and we want to give God the best portion, words we know will be pleasing to him and that speak the truth about him. Now, I also want to point out that the spiritual sacrifice of praise is also a way of offering our bodies as living sacrifices too. Right? Never forget that when you sing, you are breathing out your life, breathing out your life breath to make that sound. You are offering your very life to God. You also use your lungs and your tongue and your lips and your whole body to stand and speak and sing. And so in giving ourselves to this offering of praise, we are also offering our bodies to God as living sacrifices. The next spiritual sacrifice we offer in the worship service is the sacrifice of repentance. Now, I talked about this quite a bit last week, so I'm not going to belabor it today, but remember that repentance is specifically what was in view in Romans 12:1. We offer our bodies as living sacrifices by the renewal of our minds, which is repentance. Right? The old covenant sacrifices were offered to make atonement for sin. And during this portion of the worship service where we confess our sins and receive God's forgiveness, we are proclaiming that Christ has come as our sin offering. It's a sacrificial time. His sacrifice has made our sacrifices, our living sacrifices, pure and acceptable to God. And that's what I declare to you when I tell you your sins have been forgiven. Then we come to the reading of Scripture, the profession of faith and the preaching of the Word, right? Again, these are spiritual sacrifices as well. We already quoted Hebrews 13:15, a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. This applies to all of these words too. Right? In the public reading of the Scriptures, we offer to God words that we know are pleasing to him because they are his own words. They are a pure sacrifice. We offer the pure and carefully prepared sacrifice of the creed, which is the teaching of the apostles. And then the word of God is, hopefully, faithfully preached and proclaimed. In one sense, the sermon is also our sacrificial offering to God. Again, carefully prepared words speaking the truth about God, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. But we should also point out that the word of God is also the sword of the Spirit, according to Ephesians. And in Hebrews, it is said to be living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Now, that kind of precision and division that we're talking about there, that doesn't sound a lot like the frantic hack and slash of the battlefield, does it? That sounds more like the knife in the hand of the priest as he carefully slices and apportions the various parts of an animal sacrifice. And that is certainly what the Word of God is doing in our service. It is piercing to the division of soul and spirit, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Christ, our priest, is wielding the word as it is read and professed and preached. He is cutting all of us up and preparing us to be living sacrifices that are acceptable to God. He does that through the word. Indeed, the word of God prepares us for all the other spiritual sacrifices that we would offer in the service, right? It gives us the words to speak and to sing. The word of God shows us where we need to repent and offer repentance. It teaches us how we are to offer prayer and gives us words for prayer and words to speak as we are sent out into the world. So the Word of God supports all the other sacrifices. And the Word of God then is both offering and offerer, because Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, is both sacrifice and priest. After the proclamation of the word, we come to our time of offering. And that's not a misnomer, right? We're so used to calling it the offering, we probably don't realize that's sacrificial language. Our giving of our tithes and our offerings is another spiritual sacrifice that we offer in the worship service. Now, in our day, we typically offer currency, cash and check or electronic payments. And for us, these can tend to be like just numbers printed on paper or displayed on a screen. They can feel pretty disconnected from our day-to-day lives, from the labor of our hands and the sweat of our brow. But that's what they are. Remember how it was for the ancient Israelites. Their offerings were the same stuff as their sacrifices, right? They brought their produce. They brought animals from their flocks. Their offerings were actually cut up and cooked on the altar as sacrifice. Now, our offerings look very different, but they serve the same purpose, don't they? What was done with Israel's tithes? Numbers 18:21, to the Levites I have given every tithe in Israel for an inheritance, in return for their service that they do, their service in the tent of meeting. It was used to support their priests, their ministers, and the work of the tabernacle and the temple. Deuteronomy 14:28, you shall bring out all the tithe of your produce in the same year and lay it up within your towns. And the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance with you, and the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow who are within your towns shall come and eat and be filled, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands that you do. So we see here that the tithe, the offerings, were also used to help the poor and the needy in Israel. Isn't that what our tithes do? What our offerings do? They are given for the livelihood of our pastor and our staff, to provide for the services of the church. And they are also used to help the poor and the needy in our community. And we know that these tithes and these offerings are spiritual sacrifices because that's exactly how the Apostle Paul describes them. 1 Corinthians 9:13. Do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. Paul compares Christian giving to the sacrificial system. In Philippians 4:18, Paul describes gifts from the Philippian church as a sacrifice. 4:18, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And as we mentioned last week in Hebrews 13:16, he describes mercy and charity as sacrifices as well. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. When we place our tithes and our offerings in the basket each week, we are not making payment for services rendered. We are not paying dues for a social club. We are offering spiritual sacrifices to God in a way that pleases Him, in the same way that God's people always have. Now, after we offer the spiritual sacrifice of our tithes and offerings, we offer the spiritual sacrifice of prayer, right? Now, we pray throughout our service. Our songs are prayers. The collect is a prayer. The creed is a prayer. We pray in the supper and so on, but especially in the prayer of the church portion of the service, we are all offering the sacrifice of prayer. Prayer is similar to praise in that words are being offered to God, but where praise is largely speaking about God, prayer is speaking to God. But prayer too is treated as a sacrifice in the scriptures. And as we saw with praise, this is not just a new covenant phenomenon. We see it in the Psalms as well, right? Our Old Testament reading for this morning, Psalm 141, verses 1 through 2. O Lord, I call upon you. Hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call to you. Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. The lifting up of the hands is the common biblical posture for prayer. Prayer is counted as sacrifice even in the Old Covenant. We see that prayer is especially associated with the offering of incense in the sacrificial system. Yes, incense was a sacrifice. Remember, not all sacrifices were animals. So it's like the scented candles that you might burn in your house when company is coming, right? Incense was used to create a pleasant atmosphere at the tabernacle and at the temple, which would invite God's presence and be a pleasing aroma to Him. And this connection of prayer with that sacrifice of incense is seen in the New Testament as well. We see it in the heavenly worship service that's being portrayed throughout the book of Revelation. Revelation 5:8. The four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Revelation 8:3 through 4. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. The spiritual sacrifice of prayer. The last spiritual sacrifice we offer in our worship service is the Lord's Supper. And I'm actually going to preach a whole sermon on this next week because there's a lot of historical baggage that comes up when we start asking in what sense the Lord's Supper is or is not a spiritual sacrifice. And that's going to take more time than I have here this morning. So we'll talk about that more next week, but I've already pointed out a few times in this series how Jesus' words of institution for the Lord's Supper are chock full of sacrificial language and sacrificial imagery. So we'll unpack that more, so come back next week. There's other sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices we could talk about in the worship service, but I think that's a good start. In coming to a conclusion then, we've seen how the scriptures speak of praise and song, of confession, of preaching, of giving, of prayer and communion as sacrifices. The scriptures are likening them to the shared meals, to the pleasing aromas, to the grateful gifts that were offered in the old covenant sacrifices. These are spirit-empowered sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices that Christians offer to God. And because of Jesus Christ, these sacrifices are pleasing and acceptable to the Father. So I've been saying for 6 weeks now that worship is sacrifice, that worship has always been sacrifice, and that Christian worship is still sacrificial worship. The scriptures we've quoted today show this to be the case. And my hope is that that truth will give us a better perspective on what worship is, what we are doing here. Remember what I said at the beginning. Worship is not entertainment. Worship is not us being a passive studio audience, expecting the musicians or pastors up front to do the work and create an experience for us. Worship is communing with God through sacrifice. Worship is an action. It's an activity. It's the eternal activity. It's the most important thing we do. Worship is a thing we do. We are to be engaged. We are to prepare. We are to participate in faithfulness and in obedience. Can we begin to see our worship in this light, the way the apostles saw it? Brothers and sisters, you have been called to a holy priesthood. You have been called to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord, as the psalmist says. Give him your best. Give him your faithfulness. Bring the breath of your lungs. Bring the work of your hands. Bring the fruit of lives that are lived in justice and mercy. And trust that, as God has promised in his word, when we lay these things before him, he will accept our sacrifices in Jesus Christ. He will be pleased. He will smell the fragrance of Christ on us. He will come to us. He will draw us to himself, and he will make his home with us, now and forever. Let's pray. Living God, cleanse our hearts and purify our thoughts by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may not offer you the blemished sacrifice of unfaithfulness, which is a stench in your nostrils. Grant instead that we might offer you right sacrifices, the fruit of lips and lives that acknowledge your name, which we trust are pleasing to you through Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen.